It is the Christmas weekend edition of the broadcast coming from the Evangel Home of Fresno. Welcome to Heartline. Here's your host, Jim Tuck.
Thanks so much, Ken Adams. We are just thrilled to have this opportunity to bring Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno. And we are in Jerry Brenneman's office and having an interview time, a chat with a new best friend, another BFF here at...
A new best friend forever,
yeah. So Gina is here, and Jerry, we did something a little uncharacteristic. We talked about her a little bit before we actually turned the mic on. And so we want to go back a little bit, and you were telling some fascinating things. Let me just say... stumbling around drunk, knocking over a Christmas tree.
That was not me.
Yeah, no, that was not you. That was Gina. And that's part of her history. And it just seems so impossibly uncharacteristic as you sit and look at and talk with Gina.
I agreed. And I think that is one of the dangers of a woman who looks like Gina. And again, if this were TV, what people would see is a tall African-American woman, beautiful hair, beautiful bright eyes, bright. Just everything about her is bright. She's fun. She's well-spoken. And when I first saw Gina, she's one of those people that does seem kind of out of place because she seems to have it together. And I think the danger of that, Jim, is a person like Gina can pass because she doesn't look the type, whatever the type is. So people expect more of her. And they think she's got it together when inside she's crying out that she doesn't. And so... last week at our staff Christmas party that we have for the residents, when she was sharing the Gina that came to Evangel Home several months ago, that is still part of her that has to be worked with. And Gina knows she can't just decorate the outside at the expense of the inside. And so I really appreciate that. I think it takes a great deal of courage for any woman to come in here and change their life. I think it takes a little more dedication for a woman that seems to have it together. Because they can always just sort of float out and look like they have it together, and who would ever suspect? But I think I'll let Gina tell her story. She does it better than I do.
Well, and I just want to warn people, you're going to love Gina's voice.
Yes, yeah.
It is special. So, Gina, a little bit about the background. When did the substance abuse start?
Drinking has started since I was 12.
Was it in the house?
Yes, it was always in the house. And since I was out in the streets by myself, I just was around it all the time.
And how old are you?
I am now 34.
So, and really sober for the first time since you were 12-ish?
Yes, sober, yes.
Wow.
That was great.
Yeah.
It feels great.
So, lead us up. Talk us through the crisis point where Gina decided, I got to be honest with myself, and I can't do this alone, and enough is enough.
It was the last point of just going around being homeless again and arguing with my son, trying to put him in a car when I was drunk and seeing his face on me, seeing his expression, and I just knew it was done. I couldn't drink no more, and I could see that I was just falling away. I was just losing who I was, losing everything about me and not knowing who I was.
And this was 6 months or so ago?
Yes. 6 months.
So you came to be at Evangel Home. How did that come about?
We got kicked out of a place, me and my son, and I just didn't know what to do, where to go. So we packed our stuff, we put it in storage, and I just said, okay, son, I need to go to church because I don't know what to do. He went to his friends, and I just went to church with my luggage, rolling into church. And
did you just pick a church, or did you
have Well, it was already the church that I was attending, but okay. I was like lukewarm in the church. I wasn't taking God serious. I was just like, okay, I'll be in church.
You passed. You were just passing. Just
yeah.
Showing up.
But then I realized, you know what, I need to go to church. I felt that's where I needed to go. So when I went there with my luggage, I sat in the back, I passed the talk, and I just start crying and just like, Lord, what to do? And he showed me what to do. He told me just to stay still and to stay focused on him. I always heard the word stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. And I never knew what that meant. Like, how are you going to tell me stay encouraged and this is happening? But now I know what it means, to always focus on him when a hard time comes and to believe that he's going to pull me out. So I take that to heart. Stay encouraged means just to keep him in my heart. And when my pastor spoke to me and he just looked at me and he was like, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I'm waiting for God to give me answers. So I'm not going to sit here for a while. I didn't rush to leave the altar like I usually do. I stayed there and heard the word.
Then, so the crisis point came, and God in a special way came to you, sitting in church. How did you hear about Evangelome then? Was it a recommendation from the church?
No, I looked it up on the internet. Huh. I was going through, I was at my friend's Lawrence because she told me I could spend a night one night, and I was talking to her dad, and we were just talking, and I said, let me get on the internet and look up shelters. So I called all of them. I wasn't in a relationship. I wasn't at the time abused, so I was like, I can't go there. So they, the Mason Center recommended me to call here. So I called.
And what was your first impression?
First, when I seen the area, I was like, okay, what am I going to get myself into? But when I walked through the doors, I felt, this is where I belong. This is where God wants me to be. Just stay and don't move. And I felt relief. I felt like I could just let everything out that I was holding in since I was so young, that they would actually listen to me and would care. So
it's got a feeling of peace and home, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, yes.
And where's your son?
He is now with a friend and is going to school, so he is now changing because he sees me changing.
And his son is a little bit older. He's not like 2 or 3.
Oh, no, no,
he's,
no. Yeah. He's 18. Yeah. He's 18. Okay. He's a grown man.
I had to his questions kind of hanging out there.
Yeah.
I recently had to give him back to God because he was kind of worrying me, and I had to realize he's not mine to worry anymore. I had to, like, God, okay, thank you for loaning him to me, but I need you to guide him now. So that was kind of good relief on me, too. It helps with my healing process.
So you came to the crisis shelter, yes. And you were here for 28 days?
28 days, and then 2 weeks after that, I heard about the Crossroad program. So I didn't want to apply for it just thinking, okay, well, I can have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to do it for real. So I really prayed on it, and I asked God, is this the step you want me to do? Direction do you want me to go? Because I wanted to be serious about it. I didn't want to just have a quick scheme. I didn't want to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So when I prayed on it, it was like, okay, I got more and more insight. When people didn't even know about it, come to me, and I had confirmation, I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to apply.
She was quiet. She wasn't running all over the place trying to get everyone's opinion and saying what she was going to do. And when she says she didn't want just to be scheming to go next door, that's exactly the kind of woman we don't want over there.
Right.
So if we had picked up on any of that, we would have said no. You know, we do pick up on it often, not always. And so the women who do scheme to get next door, God usually brings it to our attention. It is our prayer that in the meantime, they don't harm the other women. And Jim, there are times where we don't know. Good heavens. We're trying to discern God's will for a person. And we sometimes can't even discern his will for our own lives. We would always rather err on the side of mercy. And so when we get to that, we're just not quite sure sometimes, which was not the case with Gina. She was a 100% just get that girl next door. We often think, could the woman do any harm to the other women? And if we don't see any real harm, then we'd say okay. And then if that doesn't work, then they're usually gone.
Well, Gina, you've been over there, you say, 4 or 5 months. So you're roughly halfway through the program.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, we call it a life skills training program.
Yes.
That's kind of my phrase that I came to mind a few years ago. What class or classes have been the most significant, the ones that just jump out and say, that changed my world?
It would be Seekers and Self-Esteem. Boundaries, yes, but I haven't really took the full course, so I can't say that now. But Seekers has really helped me express my feelings, that it is okay to express my feelings, that my feelings do count. I don't have to bottle them in. I don't have to hold them in, and I can express them positively. I don't have to yell them out how I feel. I could just say it in a calm way. This is the way I feel. And for Issues of Abuse was one. It made me realize that the abuse that I've been through wasn't my fault. I've been through it for a reason, and it helped me get my self-esteem back, that I am important. I am an important person.
So what tools now do you feel that you have in your tool bag to help you avoid regressing back into alcohol abuse? What's going to keep you from going back?
I think now that I have support, that if I feel the urge, I could call them, and they'd be there, because I have several numbers, like, listed on dial tone. Quick, I could call in a hurry,
speed dial
right before it comes, and they won't put me down for it. They were help me up and bring me back in and like, okay, and help me see why did I go that way. I feel that I'm at the age I don't want to drink no more, so I pray that I be sober for the rest of my life because I kind of like did that. I don't want to do that no more.
That's a one day at a time kind of a deal there. One of the things we've talked about with most of the women who come in with a history of substance abuse is the society, your circle of friends and people who are influential in your life that have kind of given you permission to do that or even encouraged you to do that, can't be there.
Yeah, they can't be there. I can't now still go to my family's house because I know I'm still not strong enough. So I would go and just say hi to the grandma, the kids, and then I told them on last Thanksgiving how I was like on a rotary. I went and said hi to everybody throughout the whole house and walked right out the house. I didn't even stop and say, but everybody knew and they respected that, but I just didn't want to sit and talk. I just went and hugged and kissed everybody and said, love you guys, and I walked right out the door.
It's so cool that they knew and they supported you. They didn't try to trap you.
Yeah.
And they didn't give you the you think you're better than we are kind of line that many families would do to somebody trying to break those chains. So I think for that your family is to be commended, Gina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bless our hearts for understanding that and giving you that space. Well, let's quickly talk, Gina, a question that I frequently ask our guests to. Picture, if you will, God has brought someone to this radio station right here and now who is where you were. What do you tell that person?
I would tell that person to just open your heart and your mind to God and just allow him to change you and just let it go, all of it, and let God work in you. That he is just wonderful. He is the loving. He is my father, and he loves me. And it's nothing can describe the words when you have a relationship with God. It's just God does love all of us.
It's consuming, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Jim, I want to add, too, when Gina says that, she knows. And I was so happy when you asked about her tool bag. She didn't immediately say, well, if I feel like it, I'll just, God will.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people can use God as just the excuse, and they don't do the work. She knows to do the work.
Yeah.
And when she talks about God and the way she talks about him now, that is so for real, because she knows it's not just he's not just a little Cupid doll that you rub his head and all your problems
right.
are on. He will
cosmic genie.
Yeah. And that's what too many people use him for. So by waiting for him and letting him fill you, he might give you ideas and opportunities you have no idea, like coming to Evangel Home, so.
All right, we're completely out of time. Gina, thank you. God bless you, sister. It's a pleasure to meet you. I've seen you around here and love the big smile and the clear eyes. It's just a pleasure to watch. Thank you, Jerry. And listening friend, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. If you need some help, call us 264-4714. If you can be helped, same phone number, 264-4714. We look forward to our next adventure here on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
And remember, 24/7 from anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Thanks so much for tuning in this weekend. See you next year for the first edition of Heartline, the weekly radio voice coming from the Evangel Home in Fresno.